Choosing a main in the year 2000.
Yo, Peon, like, you like adventure games, right, dude?
Yeah, sure, I like adventure games.
Dude, you should play Link.
You know, I should play Link.
Yeah.
Choosing a main in the year 2019.
So, thinking about your high-risk, high-reward playstyle, I'm really thinking that you should kind of stick it out with Cloud, really think some plays to your strengths, and really covers up a lot of your weaknesses.
Yeah, man. I guess you're right. Cloud it is. Choosing a main in the year 2039.
Taking your DNA sample, my convolutional neural networks have concluded that you are a Lara Croft main, and you secondary the third coconut from the fruit stand in Super Mario Sunshine.
I wanted to play Voldemort.
Well, that's too bad.
Choosing a main in the far future. Welcome broadcasting the entirety of the Super Smash Brothers community. This is Beyond the Medicaid. Peon this week live in the Swiss Alps, where AV and I are skiing. I'm joined, as mentioned previously, by my wonderful co-host AV. AV, how you doing, big guy?
Doing pretty terribly, because I've only skied once in my life, and it was a miserable experience.
Yeah, plus you're wearing cargo shorts. What's up with that?
I haven't worn cargo shorts since, like, middle school.
Like, yeah,
well. I feel like that's where cargo shorts should stay and never return.
I think cargo shorts are appropriate if you're like some sort of like hiker dude, like a Pokemon trainer, like the bug catchers in Pokemon. Or yeah, you're in middle school.
Or you could have just said the hikers in Pokemon. That's definitely a class of trainer.
Dude, do I sound like a Pokemon expert? No, but to all my cargo short slash pant wearing listeners, look, man, I kind of like them. I don't know why they're not in style. I think they're pretty practical. I think they're comfortable. So I don't know why you're hating on them, AV. But regardless, guys, thank you guys so much for tuning in this week. We got a couple of new countries. Well, actually, a few new countries that I'm really excited to talk to you about, AV. We got Iceland, Peru, and Greece, all three, which are notorious for their cargo short usage, which is funny.
You know, man, I'm not hating on them. I'm just saying you gotta rock the tank top and the Oakleys, or it's not a complete set.
Fair enough. But guys, as always, thank you for tuning in from around the world. But for wherever you're tuning in, we appreciate you. But AV, this week, you and I, we have a great conversation in store for the listeners. We select my main.
Yeah, it's really fun. I kind of walk you through the steps and kind of play therapist for a bit. It's pretty fun, and we kind of not only get try to get Peon to his desired main of choice, but also kind of lay the foundation for how you guys, who are probably in a similar position, can get there in a game with 70 plus characters.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. Like, not only are there so many characters and we're all kind of venturing out and finding out what works for us in this title together, but like, I think it's important, like the framework that you indicated, like the whole process of learning a new character, choosing what character you want to learn as your main. That whole process is going to be super relevant as soon as patches start dropping. Like, maybe right now you love your character, but anything's, you know, on the table. They could make Captain Falcon's knee one-hit people tomorrow if they wanted to. Like, that's kind of the crazy thing. So I think this, you know, the adjustments that we'll have to make will involve, you know, perhaps for many, the selection of a new main in the future. So I think it's an important, you know, process to study up on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what we have is a really cool discussion that will be really valuable for any listener, even if they're completely decided on their main.
So guys, all that and more in just one second. Welcome back to Beyond the Metagame. This week, AV and I are going to be talking about characters. It's a new game. The game came out. You know, it's been a month and some change since the game came out. And I think a lot of people right now are going through character crises. Is that a word? Crises?
It's a crises.
Character crises. Thank you, AV, by the way. I can speak for personal experience that a lot of people that I interact with, you know, people on our Discord, people in real life, are lamenting the fact that they still don't know who to main. And I have to say, AV, I've been on this show on record saying I want to play Inkling in this game, and I'm having some doubts, man. I'm having some doubts.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen you at your highest, and you're at your lowest, and the thing is like, I feel like this character, it's really worth going into whether or not this character is the right one for you.
Right. And as we talk about like my struggle today, I want to diagnose, you know, the whole character selection process. You know, we've talked about it briefly in the past, but today, because I've seen so many people struggle with this recently and because I've been struggling with it too, let's break it down, man. Let's get into it. And hopefully by the end of the episode, I want to have a plan for me, AB. I want you to help me out. I want to pick some mains by the end of this episode. Is that too ambitious?
I don't think so at all. That's why I'm here. I got my armchair. I got my pipe. I got my notebook that I'm gonna write nothing in. So I think we're all set. All
right, man. But I know that you are picking up a secondary too. I mean, AB, you're known as the DK, the Donkey Kong guy, and recently, you've had some bad matchups in tournament. I know I don't want to put you on blast here, but I heard Mega Man's would give you some trouble in tournament. And you're picking up some other characters. Like, talk to me about that. Like, how is your secondary selection process going, and what work are you planning to put into that?
Yeah, absolutely. So picking up a secondary is not too unlike picking up a main, the fact that you just have to vibe with a character enough to put a little more time into it. And I think the most important thing I think we want to get into when choosing a main or character is to understand why it's important to kind of settle down with a few characters. This may seem pretty obvious, but it's really something that allows you to learn the game at a higher level. It's really simple that you can't play mind games if you're playing character games. You have to, in order to unlock your full potential as a competitor, we do need to be able to have full control over our characters. And the thing is, I've always been struggling because I only ever really felt comfortable playing DK. But the thing is, I've always liked sword characters. Like, they always felt really natural to me. Maybe it's just because they're easy to use. I'm not going to say that they're the most difficult characters to use. But yeah, I found that Lucina managed to cover a lot of my bad matchups. I have fairly decent competence with the sword characters, due to fundamentals, and I was able to add her pretty quickly to my arsenal and have been getting pretty good results.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. I'm happy that Lucina is working out for you. In fact, I've been checking out some Lucina myself and having some good times. But that's kind of the thing. I mean, you're talking about picking up a secondary in Smash 4. You never really felt the need to. And in this game, I think that's the way to go. I think that right now, if you're not learning a few characters for some bad matchups, you're probably making a mistake. Like, there's just so many characters in this game. Like, I feel like there's just no way you're not going to want to have a couple of characters in your pocket.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing is that I could just struggle through it and try to play DK in the really terrible matchup that is Mega Man and Pichu, and lots of the small characters are the ones that keep DK out really easily. But I have to accept that it's going to be hindering my growth as a player if I kind of try to just to beat my head against the wall instead of becoming the wall. And there is something to be
Didn't
said.
Did Donald
about,
Trump say that?
I think he said we wanted to build the wall and make someone else pay for it, but I'm paying for my own wall.
Okay.
I'm all about personal agency.
So this podcast is not going to be shutting down anytime soon. I can
No. Yeah, we We will not go on a government shutdown, but I think that it's important to learn when you need to adapt to other characters and when you will get just better results and will enjoy the game more from playing more characters. It doesn't mean you're a bad player. I know that there's probably, I know Konga can probably beat all the people that I lose to, but that doesn't matter. I'm not Konga. It's just something that maybe it'll eventually happen that with understanding the matchups with other characters, maybe my DK will start being able to play it. And I think that's just something that I will have to progress with as a player. But moving on to, I think, something that's more interesting, which is your struggle with picking a main. I think going through and selecting a main and figuring out the framework for this and helping you develop a plan forward is something that will not only help you, but it will also help a lot of other people going through the same thing.
Yeah, sure thing. So okay, so when the game first came out, I've been playing a lot of Inkling, right? And Inkling, such a fun character. And I did, going into this, I mean, you can even listen back in the previous episodes, I did set up a sort of framework in which I think that people should choose their mains. And the main thing I always tell people is pick a character that multiplies the effectiveness of your strengths and nullifies your weaknesses. In Smash 4, for me, that the character that most fit that description was Cloud. And I thought that Inkling would be that character for me. But what I've come to realize is I didn't have the best perception of what my strengths and weaknesses are. And in fact, my time with Cloud and my time with other characters in Smash 4 really hid some of my weaknesses from me that I didn't know existed. Now everything's kind of getting dragged. Like, all the skeletons are getting dragged out of my closet. Like, all the dirty laundry is being dragged out for all my guests and roommates to see. So that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Yeah, so it's really interesting, the concept of not knowing your strengths and weaknesses. I think this is a very self-aware of you. And it's something that I actually really wanted to talk about. People often list their criteria for characters, and they are often very confident about what they want in a character and what they find like good about a lot of their mains. But often this is quite misguided. I think people have a much harder time expressing what they truly value in a character. And it's often very difficult to express this, so I don't necessarily fault them for it. Just like love, I actually think that whether or not a character works for you happens in the first 15 seconds of playing a character. And I mean, obviously this is very reductive and it's not necessarily true in all circumstances, but I think when you play a character or when you watch a character be played, it's very easy to say, okay, this feels good, or this is fun. I sometimes think it's as simple as that. Obviously, there's a lot of variables that go into it, but that's kind of the first thing I want to like talk to you about. Like, what characters have you played in this game that just seem fun to you?
Yes, that's a funny thing. Like, Inkling for me was that love at first sight kind of a character. Playing Inkling, mm-hmm. I love the Splatoon series. I just think that, like, the moves are cool. Like, Inkling, like, her Nair, she does, like, a cool, like, upside-down leg kick. It's like a Tony Hawk game minus, the skateboard. And as a man who grew up in the 90s, like, I appreciate that. And I was like, this character's, you know, pretty cool. And I liked her gimmicks, and I liked, pissing people off with a roller, and I loved the whole concept of the ink, and I loved her damage game. And she definitely hit all of those like early first impression, like, oh, whoa, like, this character is pretty fun kind of things. But actually what ended up being the deal breaker for me is to go back to my weaknesses and strengths. Smash 4, I played a character called Cloud who had no trouble killing whatsoever. You could, you know, massage your opponent's neck and they would die in game. It was ridiculous. You could do whatever you wanted.
Right.
And I didn't realize how what adverse effects that would have on me now. Because now, as Inkling, if people know how to avoid the roller and they know how to avoid the Booyah kill confirm, I just couldn't kill people. I just couldn't beat them in neutral with like a killing option. I mean, I could edge guard them, but I play against like Palutenas and other people that foxes that had recoveries I couldn't even really intercept. And I was just getting, you know, I just couldn't find kills. And I'm like, Right. Okay. And I don't really blame Inkling. I'm, you know, that's just the weak of her weakness of her character. But that's just an instance where Inkling's inability to kill corresponds with my personal weakness of being unable to kill. So they kind of compound on each other, I found.
All right, so I'm going to ask you a psychologically deep question.
All right.
So do you think that this weakness was instilled as a result of playing Cloud? Or do you believe truly that this is an innate quality of you as a player?
I think it was learned. I mean, I don't think it was innate. I think it's, there's two parts to it. I think that Cloud and Captain Falcon, I played before Cloud, both killed so easily that I never even thought about, okay, do I have trouble killing? Do these characters just give me a bunch of free kills that other characters have to earn? I never even thought about it, because what would have prompted me to do so? You know, like I can't think of what would have possibly started making, like, you know, prompted me to start thinking about that, other than a new game coming out and exactly what happened. Right. So I don't think it's innate. I think I learned it based on the characters I played.
So that being said, do you think that this is something that you can get past by just writing it out? So something that's interesting to think about, and why playing one character or having a small character pool is really important, is you have to learn how to get through plateaus without switching characters. Just as someone who finds new hobbies every month, who that person who's saying that they're going to write a book, or that they're going to rap, or that they're going to or that they're going to publish on their blog, you want to be someone who doesn't switch around a lot. Not saying that if you're one of those players who has a lot of fun doing that and you're playing the game just to have fun and not necessarily to be a competitive player, then by all means do you. But learning how to get through plateaus is one of the most important qualities of a good player. And more often than not, if you're vibing with the character and you're still performing poorly, it's something that you've actually admitted, it's quite often the case that you're the problem and not the character. But this has to be diagnosed, because it's sometimes easy to get false positives saying like diagnosing that you're the problem, when in reality you're actually just not vibing with the character. So I just want to know, like, do you think that it's worth putting more time into Inkling? Or do you want to just immediately, like, just find something that's going to be getting you good results immediately?
Well, sure. I do think that I think that the way you're framing it is a bit of an oversimplification. Like, I totally agree that if I keep playing Inkling, I'll eventually learn how to be a different player than I am currently. I'll eventually learn how to get kills creatively, how to really earn them. And how to get them by a variety of means. Sure, I totally concede that. But the thing is characters that have an easy time killing usually have a trade-off. Let's say Cloud or Ike in this game have a lot of, you know, great time killing, but they get messed up by combos, they get destroyed off stage, and they almost always have a trade-off for this ease of kill. And those trade-offs, like that framework of like the high risk, high reward, you can die from anything, you can kill from anything kind of gameplay, is something that I've already kind of developed as a guy. I was trained with a sniper, and then they put me in the military and they hand me an assault rifle. Like, eventually I'll figure out the assault rifle, but I'm a sniper, damn it. And
yeah.
And so yes, I could learn Inkling, sure. And it is my own fault. I mean, this whole conversation is about like my interaction with these characters. Inkling's great. But I just think that I have so much to learn with even the characters that I already have a natural proclivity towards. So, why not lean into that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I was bringing it up for the point of discussion, in the sense that people that are going through this should be asking themselves. And you gave a pretty well contextualized and strong answer. So that kind of gives me the feeling that you are telling the truth, and you would probably be better playing a different character, especially because Inkling does not have that high risk. I mean, it's interesting that you frame it like that, because Inkling is not a high risk character. Like, maybe having a weakness is a good thing in some sense. Maybe being able to think about the game in that framework is really healthy for you as a player. So I can see that. Which is why I agree with you, and I think that this may be a good reason to start looking around. And I implore people that are listening to go through this and make sure that your reasons are good. Make sure that your justifications for switching your characters is good, because like more often than not, you end up at the same character that you were before because it actually fit you well. And you just like, we're struggling to get through a plateau. So just make sure that you are like Peon and that you do have a really good reason for switching characters. Now, let's break down which characters have this kind of playstyle. What are these high risk, high reward characters? And especially, which ones are you particularly attracted to right now?
Yeah, man. You know, I really like Ike. Right now, mm-hmm. I really like Cloud. I quite like Captain Falcon, but I think he's trash.
he's a bit weird right now.
But I also like Roy quite a bit too, and Crom. I like all the sorties, you know, pretty much. I like how in all the sorties in this game, I feel like I can swing, I can go in, kills kind of happen organically. Sure, I can get messed up off stage, but, you know, that's okay. Sure, I can't really edge guard that much. Yeah, but I still have fun. I still think that I have quite a punch. I feel like I can deal a lot of damage and play a lot of different styles.
Okay, so it seems like sword characters are kind of the way to go here. Especially Ike and Crom. So the interesting thing is that are you willing to take those, like, that kind of risk with your recovery? Because at least Cloud, your recovery wasn't always edgeguardable. But with Ike and Crom, it's actually more easily edgeguardable. Do you think you can give that in?
Bro, I would rather have Ike or Crom's recovery than Cloud's.
I mean, there are a lot of times where you can, like, where it's actually much easier to clip, to clip Ike or Crom's recovery because of how much it sticks above the stage.
Nah, man, Cloud's recovery is so, like, at low percents, yeah, you can ledge snap mm-hmm. most often than not, from, like, horizontally. And mm-hmm. if you have limit, you're good no matter what. But because you don't really need to have a great recovery at low percents anyway, which are the situations where you'd have access to your ledge snap more often than not. And just to clarify for people that don't know, Cloud can snap to the ledge with his up B perfectly if he's just horizontal of the ledge and uses his up B. So that's what I'm referencing. Yeah, so Cloud can do that guaranteed at low percents, but like, okay, I'm not going to die at low percents anyway usually, so whatever. But at high percents, I'm going to get hit so far away from the stage that I probably won't even have a chance to snap anyway. So it doesn't really matter when it's relevant.
Okay, fair. It seems like a lot of these characters seem to be pretty high tier. So does the tier list matter to you? What does do you think that you are better off Are you going to be looking for characters that are higher in the tier list?
Yeah, I absolutely am. And I'm curious as to what you think about this too, AB. I, as a competitive player, I want characters that have, the most good matchups possible. I don't want to have to stop using my main to play against somebody else. You know what I mean? I want my main to be good against as many characters as is pot. Like, if every single matchup was even or winning, that'd be ideal, right? And that's only really even a concept within high tier characters and top tier characters. The problem for me about if I pick like a low tier is what if I have like some hellish 7-3 matchup where I feel so bad in the matchup that I want to pick somebody else. Now suddenly I'm playing characters I don't really like as much, and that's just messy. You know what I mean? Am I crazy? That's why I like top tiers. I wanna have options.
I don't think you're crazy at all. I think that there's only one category of crazy people,
Yeah.
and that's people with low tier mains and low tier secondaries. Those are actually the crazy people. And no offense to you guys out there. I respect the people who have both low tier mains and low tier secondaries, but you're literally playing this game on nightmare difficulty.
Bro.
This is
The Dark Souls of platform fighters.
the Dark Souls of video games. I think that having a mid-low tier main and a high-tier secondary is a perfectly good way to go. Although what ends up happening is that your high tier becomes your main, just like Tweak did. If you guys didn't know, Tweak was a Bowser Jr. main initially, and he was a very good Bowser Jr. main. But played Cloud and DK on the side, and eventually he only played Cloud and DK in Smash 4. And eventually some Bayo. His Bayo was also very good. But I think that something that's really important is playing good characters, especially if you're playing competitively. If you want to win, one of your characters should be a good character. That's what I was thinking when I picked up Lucina. I had DK, which is a character with a lot of pretty good matchups. Honestly, in this game, he has very good matchups against a large selection of the cast. And I didn't really have any massive issues playing against most characters, but there are a select few that Lucina like complements really well. And I think that was very important in informing my decision to pick up a secondary, because I would not take time away from my best character if it wasn't for someone that was going to give me better results than my main was giving me. And I think that's really important.
Yeah, I completely agree, and I do think, well, I want to address two different things. Some people are gonna be listening to this and being like, "Oh, come on, dude! Like, I play Pac-Man. Let me just play Pac-Man. I want to win with Pac-Man. I don't really care. I want to overcome despite, right? And we're not saying that you have to play a high tier or top tier character, or at least have one in your arsenal. We're just saying it'll be easier if you do." I mean, obviously there are low tier mains out there. Sinji, Pac-Man player, Smash 4, T, another Pac-Man. I don't know why I'm just ragging on Pac-Man,
We
but
talk about Pac-Man a lot on this podcast. We talk about a lot of Pac-Man.
let's say you want to be a Little Mac main, Soul. If your name is Soul in a Little Mac main, and look, that guy's way better than me. All right, so it's not. We're not saying it's impossible. We're just saying, it's difficult. And another thing I want to address is the concept of character compatibility. So, like you said with Lucina, the reason that you picked up Lucina isn't just that she's good, but she's good at matchups that you felt your Donkey Kong was suffering in. You gave Mega Man Pichu as an example. And I think it's really important to keep that in mind. If you do want to play, like if you fall in love in that 15 seconds we were talking about, maybe you look at a mid tier and you're like, yeah, this is my guy. This is my girl, whatever. Like, I'm playing this character. And you have a couple bad matchups. There's more often than not one or two characters that deal with the characters that give your main trouble. And that's mostly because in this game, in Smash in general, but I feel like it's emphasized more so in Ultimate than ever before. There's character archetypes. Let's say Donkey Kong. You said Donkey Kong categorically suffers against short characters with a great combo game and great zoning potential. Okay, well, swordy characters are fantastic at fighting short characters that like to zone. I mean, that's kind of what they do best. So picking up a sword makes perfect sense in that context, and I think that you chose a very great compliment to your main.
Yeah, thanks for corroborating my choice, and I agree. Whether that was, I mean, it was absolutely conscious in terms of the fact that these matchups have become a lot easier, and I find immediate results when I've actually played these characters for way less time than I've played DK.
Yeah.
Which is kind of wild, right? Like I just immediately pick up a character and then I start seeing results in matchups that I'd never be able to feel comfortable in. And I think that's something that you should look for, is that are you picking up a character and instantly seeing results? And I want you to and I also ask our listeners to not feel bad about playing good characters. Like if you immediately start doing better because you're playing a better character, just like own it. Like,
is that a real thing? Is top tier guilt a real thing? Am I just too soulless to ever be like guilty about succeeding? I don't know, like just play it. If you like the character, just play it.
Yeah, I definitely think you are. No, I'm kidding. It absolutely is a thing for some people. Especially people transitioning from the casual to competitive environment where they're often ragged on for playing characters that are deemed as overpowered.
Yeah, I'll go back to like freshman year playing Melee in college, and people in my floor, I would just be destroying them with Falco's down air repeatedly, just spiking them. It's a very, very, very easy move to land, especially against bad players. And all my friends in my dorm were like, dude, Dane, you're such a tryhard. Like, why are you picking this character? He was like, clearly the best character in the game because of that spike is just too deadly. And right. I got so much crap for it. But I think I'm just too competitive to care. I was just like, hey, adapt, bro. Adapt.
I think you're a competitor at heart, which is amazing for you in this game. But
not for my friendships. not for my romantic relationship when she wants a 1v1 and I just, hey, sure thing. I'm just testing Pichu combos on her.
That's brutal, dude. It's brutal.
Been, yeah.
But I mean, there's a lot of people who aren't like you. And the thing is that, I mean, I would recommend, not that you can immediately change your mindset, but having that that ruthless mentality about like you just win to win. I mean, you be friends with people out of the game and just do whatever it takes to win inside the game. And I think that's and thing is you can easily separate the two, and I think that's an important part of picking a character. Don't feel like you're burdened by society's views of of your character in any realm or environment that you're in.
Society, yeah, man. Yeah. You think of the at your local polling place, they'll ask you what your main is in Ultimate. Like, okay, are you registered Republican, Democrat, third party? Okay, great.
Registered DLC.
yes, guys. I don't even know why I'm tripping about this. I should just wait until Piranha Plant comes out. Like, if Smash DLCs ever taught us anything. We know that Piranha Plant or Joker is going to be nuts. I should just wait for them. Okay, that's it. I'm going to put me like some, what is it, like the cryogenic sleep and just wake me up when Piranha Plant comes out, all right?
All right, you're going in the time chamber, dog.
The hyperbolic time chamber. Wait, what is it? Not hyperbolic. What is it?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
It's not, but we'll go ahead and continue. Let's talk about me again. That's my favorite thing to say.
We should talk about you. Okay, I wanted to talk about all these characters you mentioned, and I wanted you to decide on one because I don't like.
We're doing one today.
Yes.
Oh.
And it's going to be hard, but the really important thing is that your time is valuable. Your time is the most valuable resource in your life. you can convert your time to anything. Money, but getting better at Smash.
Yeah.
Being a better being a better person in a relationship. Being
okay.
Yes. Okay. You can convert it to having fun. Like, so
let's walk through it. Can I first narrow it down to like five, and then we'll work it to one? We'll do process of elimination.
All right. So, I mean, we had Ike, Crom, Roy.
So, no. So, let me just say, this is what my heart's telling me.
Okay. Tell me what your heart's. I want to hear it.
Yeah, I'll give you the five from the heart, and then I'll trim it down to one. And we'll do that together kind of methodically through the process. Sure. That we talked about. And we'll also, I encourage the listeners to do the same. You know, the way I'm thinking about this, I want you guys to think about this if you're having a crisis, or if ever you are having a crisis, maybe after a patch hits or something and you don't like your main anymore. Mm-hmm. So I want a character. Oh, well, first from the heart. Ike. And this is no particular order. Cloud. Crom. Roy. And Lucina.
I don't see a pattern at all. Okay. So a lot of these characters are like pretty much in the same archetype. I think the only one that is definitively sort of different. That's not a thing. There's
definitely almost the same thing.
100% of the time, 90%. Yeah, 90%.
The Anchorman.
Yeah. But I think Ike is the only one that really stands out as being very different, because Ike does have stuff from Grab, and can be played in a between archetypes style. So I think that's the most interesting one. Draws me in terms of talking about your characters. Why do you like Ike?
Ike's fun, man. He's fun. what I like about him, and again, we've identified my strengths, weaknesses as being very good around playing around the fact that I have bad recovery. Being very good about like winning neutral and adapting my opponent's habits, but being very, very, very bad at closing out stocks, especially when I need to most. And Ike kind of complies with all of those requests. I mean, if I land a Nair, they're dead. Like,
yep,
at a huge window. If I land a down tilt often, I can just dish out a lot of damage without very much thought. Of course, I have to think about, you know, mixing up my options and playing defense. But in terms of closing stocks out, it's not really a mystery of how I'm going to get that accomplished, which is very comforting to me.
So there's a thing about comfort. So I feel like for you, comfort comes in two different flavors. I feel like you also like moving.
I do.
Yeah. And both Captain Falcon and Cloud, especially with Limit in Smash 4, were moving. Like,
yeah, my Cloud. Whew.
Yeah. It was doing some stuff. And I think that Ike won't necessarily afford you that. I think that's one of Ike's main weaknesses, is that you can't really move around that fast with him, even though characters are pretty fast in this game.
Okay, I think I know what it is, man. I mean, I think the answer's pretty... I mean, well, you're starting to push me in one direction, but I think first we should trim out Cloud and Lucina. Well,
you want to take those out?
Yeah, I'm not against picking them up. You know, if our conversation today doesn't go as planned and I end up hating my choice. But I think that Cloud and Lucina both... I just don't think that Cloud gets enough kills. I think his matchup spread is so scary. Like, he's the kind of character in this game where if I play against certain people, I feel like I'm just going to get destroyed. Like, if I play against a guy that can really edge guard, and I feel like I just feel limited. I feel like I can't really go off stage that much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That's fair. His offstage game's a lot worse. I think the first thing we should do is take out Cloud. I know you've mentioned that you don't like going back to him, especially because he feels completely different. You can't really go off stage with Nair because it doesn't really do the same, doesn't have the same abilities in this game. So I think that's probably the first one we want to take out.
Okay, that leaves me with Roy, Krom, and Lucina. All three of them are super fun. But like, if I was objective about this, right? If I just like thought, okay, which one's the most PL? Which one corresponds with the archetype that we've so far laid out?
Mm-hmm.
It's Krom.
Yeah, I can kind of agree with that. I feel like Roy is... I feel like you can't really... You can do some pretty crazy stuff with Roy, because obviously he's very similar to Krom, but I feel like the consistency isn't there. Krom has the consistency, the speed, the movement, the high risk, high reward. Utilization of tech that you've already learned. I think that he does fit and check a lot of boxes. He's like higher top tier. So I think he checks a lot of the boxes that you're looking for.
And I think the beauty of it too is like, if I'm playing against a character that's like Gimp City, I can play Roy, who's Krom's Echo Fighter, who has an easier time snapping to ledge. And, you know, a lot of the stuff will be very similar. It'll be very comfortable. And it gives me access to different options and different matchups. You know what I mean? That's kind of one cool thing about maining an Echo Fighter.
Right. Yeah, that is really cool. Yeah.
So maybe I'm going to go with the Roy and Krom, man. Maybe that's my option.
Yeah, I think both characters fit you really well. And I kind of want to just recap. Like, what did we do to get here? Like, why, how, what was this journey? Like, why don't you go through the steps of how you broke down which character you have got to.
So it all started when I've slowly in tournament realized more and more my weaknesses. Yeah, stop. I don't want anyone to think about that. My weaknesses as a player, as I've continued to fail and fail to close out stocks when I need to, absent at the times where I do land roller, which is the free stock. But when I don't do that, it's like, how do I close this out? And so what I will challenge our viewers to do is to play people that aren't your main. Play some well-rounded characters. Play Diddy Kong. Play Mario. Just play on random and see what some of the common storylines are with your gameplay. So, you know, what's happening? Are you getting gimped a lot? You know, maybe you're not the best recoverer. Maybe you get really flustered off stage and it's just a habit that you have trouble breaking. So maybe, you know, playing a character with a really great recovery like Palutena or something is your option. Maybe you're like me and you can't close out stocks. Well, pick a character that has an easy time doing that, right? But I think the only way to truly understand your strengths and weaknesses are to play characters that you normally don't play. And that's because you're looking at these strengths and weaknesses beyond your capabilities with that character, and rather you're looking at the one common denominator, which is you.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I also think that just like how you eventually kind of jumped at Krom and it felt and everything kind of cleared up and felt obvious to you, I feel like going by gut feel often works really well. If you feel that a character moves well in your hands, it is very likely that it's that easy. Don't ignore your gut feelings just because, just for like any external reasons, or just because you haven't maybe put all the time in exploring the character, or maybe because your friends don't want you to play the character, or maybe because you think that the character isn't good enough. I think that's something that's even something that we haven't really talked about, which is if a low tier or mid tier works well in your hands, I think you should absolutely go with it. If you're getting your best results by far, playing, being a specialist of a character, and a character just fits so well for you. Let's just say Duck Hunt just fits extremely well for you, and you're doing all this really cool stuff with Cam, and you don't feel this creative, you don't feel this creative power with any other character, I actually don't recommend you play a higher tier character just for the sake of it, and make sure that you are maximizing your potential, not only your potential to creatively get wins and in ways that your opponents will definitely not expect.
Yeah. Cool, man. Well, hey, I think that's all we should talk about in terms of choosing character. I think that we wrapped it up. I think that was really nice little complete narrative. Abby, I need to thank you for helping me get to that decision. I guess I'm for the next few weeks, I'm going to give it my all into Crom. I'm going to push my limits with the character. And hopefully by Genesis, I have a decent grasp of the character. I have 2 weeks to train, so...
Yeah, and I'm gonna go open up an office in San Francisco and become a main choosing psychologist.
Yeah, please inquire at AV at okay, but AV, thank you so much for the help again. I think it's about time that we field some questions from the Discord.
Yeah, sounds good to me. All right, let's load up the first question. Okay, so Evan asks, what have been some of your guys' most memorable tournament experiences, and what made them memorable to you?
Yeah, great question. So mine came to me right away. First time I heard this question, I instantly knew. And it was the crew battle that our previous guest, Hall of Famer, BTM Hall of Famer Max Ketchum, put on. It was the collegiate crew battle, which happened all around the country, and college teams formed and had a crew battle tournament in various locations. And it was a really, really cool event. And my team did an awesome job. We were super underseeded, but it was kind of a Cinderella story, and we got past the first round. We qualified. It was, like, super dramatic and definitely the highlight of my career. It was really fun to play Smash as a team. You know, Smash can be so isolating. It's a lot about personal progress, but playing with the team put a whole different spin on it, which will forever be something I remember.
Yeah, I love the team environment that comes with that. So I absolutely love crew battles and think it's an awesome experience to remember. Mine, however, will be more of a cheesy one, which is my final tournament in the Central Coast, which was awesome for multiple reasons, because Peon and I finally got to play doubles. And boy, did we clean up house. Ooh. That was...
won that bracket. We did not drop a game. Our double Falcon was like something out of a science fiction movie.
Right. And our double Cloud was as you'd expect. and then in singles, I won singles, beating, I think, two people that I pretty much never beat. And one person who'd been my bracket demon for a while. And I got to play a great set against Peon in grand finals.
Yeah, two sets. You reset the bracket on me.
Right. Yeah, I reset the bracket, took the tournament, and we hugged it out.
We hugged it out. Like... You kind of rocked me, but it was like, no, this is AB's last tournament. Like, he deserves to rock me, I guess.
Right, right. You totally gave it to me, man. Thanks for that one, man. But
that's... next question we got, man. Thank you for sharing that, AB. We have one from Ninja Nesquik. What do you weigh, or I suppose, how do you weigh playing online versus locally, particularly if you want to train for local?
This is a good question. A lot of people ask this, and it's something that we should definitely get into. Playing online, you do just have a disadvantage in the sense that your inputs will not come out at the same time that you expect them to. Therefore, practicing things like specific tech and stuff that you want to grind out with your character that requires on very specific frame inputs, you should not practice, because they will be a very different timing on local. A really good example of this would be Incineroar's side B. If you practice the timing on Wi-Fi, you will absolutely miss it on local. And I've seen people do this. They'll play Incineroar a bunch on either Wi-Fi or local, and they will be missing it in the opposite environment. So make sure that you're understanding why you play why you're playing in each environment. When you play online, understand what different characters' options are. Understand what playstyle counters what type of player, and learn to read habits. So kind of split it up. Obviously, this is really reductive, but split it up into training your mind on online and train your tech skill locally. Obviously, you're going to be training your tech, your mind locally as well. But it's just something that you want to really focus on online, because that's kind of the perfect canvas for those artistic tools, for so to speak. All right, so let's go on to the next question. It's going to be by B-Squared64. How am I supposed to know which stages are best for my main, Crom, in a tournament? Is it more a preference thing, or do certain characters do better on certain types of stages? And how do I find out what those stages are for my character?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. Perfectly logical. You know, I don't hear that question asked as often as you would think one would ask. I mean, people always say, oh, this stage is good for my character, this stage is good for my character. But people don't really explain why all that often. And what it mainly comes down to are the blast zones, right? That actual box around the stage, which kills you if you pass, and the actual stage layout itself. So, you know, if you're a character that tends to kill off the side very often, like Crom does with forward tilt or any of his smash attacks, other than up smash, or his back air, all that kind of stuff, kills off the side. So stages with narrow blast zones will help exaggerate that strength of his. Additionally, Crom's fantastic, like, trapping people's landings on platforms, for instance. So stages with lots of platforms where you can kind of short hop up air underneath people and shark the platforms is really good for Crom. At least that's my take. Of course, it also comes down to preference, and it also comes down to who you're playing against. Who you're playing against is equally important to consider when it comes to stage choice. So let's say, you know, Little Mac, who loves Final Destination, is his favorite stage because he doesn't have to ever leave the ground. He doesn't ever have to fight people on platforms where he's terrible in the air. So, yeah, it's half your character and half the other character going to be fighting. So try to evaluate that on both ends.
Yeah, that's a really good answer. Let's move on to the next one. So Fart Daily asks, what's the most optimal thing to do during those few seconds of invincibility your opponent gets after they respawn? Really unique question. That's super cool.
I love that question. The people in our Discord, like, a lot of people upvoted this one. Like, dude, this is a cool question. So, you know, we're definitely going to take this one. AV, what do you think, man?
So I think my take on it is that no matter what, you're going to have to give up stage control against your opponent. And your opponent is going to want to make some kind of crazy move that they wouldn't be able to get away with. In a normal scenario. So they're probably going to throw out a dash attack. They're probably going to throw out a grab. If they're really smart, what they'll do is that they'll try to bait a punish option from you. Because what a lot of people like to do is roll away when someone has that invincibility, or kind of run into the corner. So the most important thing to do is not to panic. Panic options are sniffed out really easily by good players when they have that invincibility. And just make sure to stay grounded, stay in a defensive stance, but not necessarily like immediately throw yourself in the most disadvantageous position. If you've seen your opponent throw out a bunch of crazy options, I'd expect them to go for something crazy when they have all of the opportunity to do it. So it's sort of situational, but understand that you don't have to give up as much as you think you do.
Yeah, I think an underrated thing to do is just like jump below the ledge, and like, you know, like just kind of hang out near the ledge, or either that or just jump over your opponent. Like, you're probably going to give up stage control. And that's just kind of what happens when your opponent is invulnerable and you're not. So I think just cut your losses, give up a little bit of stage control, dash away. Like Abby said, do not do a panic option. Don't roll. Certainly don't try to throw an attack or something. Just run away, give them some stage, and hope it all blows over.
Yeah, and a final thing would be, if you can perfectly time when they're going to drop their invincibility, that's actually really good, because people are often really bad at judging how long they have invincibility. So doing a perfectly timed attack when you know it's going to drop is really good.
So guys, that's all we have this week for questions. AB, thanks for talking to me today, man. Thank you for helping me decide on Krom. Hope that you guys at home learned a little bit, from our character selection process. And hope that you guys, if you're struggling with a character crisis, may it be cured. AB, where can people find you?
People can find me at A, plus my long Indian last name. it's not that bad to pronounce. It's pronounced Vaidyanatha. So A Vaidyanatha is my Twitter handle. So where can people find you, Peon?
I am at Peon_GCE. That's Golf Charlie Echo for all you military folk. And you can find the show at beyondmetagame.com. You can find our Discord. It'll be linked in the show notes and in the YouTube description, as well as on our website, which is beyondthemetagame.com. Any of those places, come say hi. We'd love to talk to you. In terms of our Discord, there's never been a better time to join. It is the best it's ever been, the best it ever will be. Please do your best to join. Come join the conversation. Come ask us questions. Come play some games with us. It'll be a lot of fun. For now, that's everything we got. As always, thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.